Thumb is up. Okay, I will call the Legislative Committee meeting to order for July 11th. First item of business would be to confirm the quorum. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Second item of business is a consent calendar, items 2A through C.
So moved.
Moved by Kinsey, seconded by Gary. McKinsey, seconded by Gary. Is there any objection to the Mickey Mac? Any objection to the motion? Motion passed without objection. Thank you very much. Move to local revenue measures. I would first like to ask Tess Lingell. Randy, are you going to present this? And then
well, I would just say I'm a bit of a disadvantage because while I can describe it, you were the chair of the Alameda Transportation Commission who put it on the ballot. So being at that disadvantage, I'm at your disposal.
I finally know something more than you.
Yeah, well, that's been true for years, Commissioner.
No, not true. I would ask that Tess Lingell come up and give us a brief presentation on the measure. That is awesome. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Hagerty, and thank you, Commissioners, and thank you for staff for bringing this forward for your consideration today. I will be very brief. This is for our Alameda County 2014 Transportation Expenditure Plan. We are very excited about this plan, and just this week, the Board of Supervisors took action to place it on the ballot. They took a unanimous vote, and that was after we had gone to every single city council in Alameda County, and every single city council unanimously supported this transportation expenditure plan. This plan is actually very important to MTC and your mission and the actual implementation of Plan Bay Area. We have in our plan many policies and specific projects that support the implementation of Plan Bay Area here in Alameda County. It's a very multimodal plan. It's an $8 billion investment over a 30-year period. 48% of the plan goes to support transit, expansion, and modernization, including BART, AC Transit, senior and disabled investments, the Altamont Commuter Express, Ferry Wheels, and Union City Transit. About 30% of the funds go for streets maintenance and safety, and 15% of that pot of money actually needs to be spent on bicycle and pedestrian investments. We also have support for specific freight investments in that streets maintenance pot. That's to help support the implementation of urban goods movement. About 9% of the plan provides traffic relief on highways, and that's broken into two elements. There's 8% that supports interchange improvements on our freeways in Alameda County. The Gilman interchange will be redone. The Ashby Avenue interchange will be redone. Whipple, Industrial Parkway, many others. Many of those support goods movement, and many of those support vital community access. We also have HOV lane gap closures and express lane implementation. And then we have 1% specifically for freight. 8% of our plan goes to support bicycle and pedestrian investments, including major trails such as the Iron Horse Trail, the Bay Trail, and the East Bay Greenway Trail, which will connect PDAs, several different PDAs within Alameda County together. We have 4% for community development investments. That's linking transportation, housing, and jobs. And we have 1% that is for technology, for clean transportation, GHG-reducing programs, and traveler information. We have worked for many years on the development of this plan. You were talking about your time in developing Plan Bay Area. We have spent 4 years working on this plan. We've had over 60 public meetings. We had people from education, enforcement, health, seniors, cities, the county, transit operators, environmental and social justice groups come together to actually work on crafting the plan, on writing it, and on formulating it. We now have broad support from labor, from all of those organizations that helped to craft the plan. And we have a special group that has formed, the Be Together group, which is Bike East Bay, Genesis, ACE, the League of Conservation Voters, Transform, and Labor have all come on to support this plan. I wanted to note a couple of policies in this plan that are very important for Alameda County and also support clean transportation. We have a complete streets policy that applies to every single penny that we have in this. So all those freeway interchanges I mentioned will also have pedestrian and bicycle access components to them. And I also wanted to mention that we have a local business and resident contracting policy within this expenditure plan. And that's a very important piece in terms of supporting jobs. And with that note on jobs, I wanted to note that the Bay Area Council Economic Institute on July 1st released a report. It was an independent economic analysis on the transportation expenditure plan that indicated that the $8 billion investment will yield $20 billion in economic activity and create 150,000 jobs over this 30-year plan. So that investment in our local sales tax will bring extensive returns throughout the region. I'd like to take just a moment to thank Commissioner Hagerty as the chair of our commission, as a Board of Supervisors member, and today as the chair of this committee for shepherding this plan through to this point. And we would certainly be honored to have MTC's support, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions of the speaker? She unfortunately left me nothing to say. I was writing stuff down I could say and then just started clicking it off. But I will say that when we first started this endeavor, going back, some of you will remember we lost last time on a two-thirds vote by 721 votes with over 500,000 votes cast. So we like the position we're in right now. I was briefly talking to Commissioner Licardo, the vice chair of this committee, and he asked, you know, have you thought about the low turnout and such? And our pollsters have definitely built the low turnout into our polling. Our polling originally started at 69%. We're up at 72 as the latest poll. We trust our pollster. Many of you have used him. I know MTC has used him. So he's a good pollster that has really taken into account the current conditions that we'll be in November. I'm very proud of the measure. I think one of the mistakes we met last time, we got a little too creative. We tried to go in perpetuity so we wouldn't have to do our children's work in the future, and that was the greatest impediment we found as we went out and talked to the public again. So we have removed in perpetuity, although I would state that probably this measure is probably in perpetuity for me. Having said that, I would like to move that we have to recommend to the full board that we support the Alameda County Transportation Sales Tax increase. And I would, colleagues, need a second, and then if
second.
Anybody else. I have a second. Does anybody else have any discussion?
Yeah.
Commissioner Weiner.
I'll just say we're rooting for you from across the bay. So
thank you.
Luck.
We appreciate that. We'll take your money for the campaign, too. Yeah, I know. You're next. Jim,
I just want to, Scott, congratulate you and Alameda County. You know, as you look at this expenditure plan, it's just very impressive. And it really is meeting the needs of the community. And I won't be surprised at all if you get close to 80%. Certainly jealous, you know, looking at this. And we're doing polling now to see if Solano County can put a measure on the ballot. But this is just a job well done. And please pass it on to your colleagues and Alameda County. That's very impressive. And any support that I think MTC can give, we'll certainly look forward to that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I will pass on to my colleagues, but I would rather pass it on to Tess. Tess has done so much work on this measure on her own time. And Art Dow, our executive director, told me that he is now out of pretty much all, you know, of his comp time and everything. You know, he's just been using a lot of his own time to go out and test and other staff members to go out to these committees and or to these city councils. And if you heard what she said, every mayor, every city council member, every supervisor in Alameda County voted yes to support putting this measure on. And that is to the good work of the measure. But although us politicians like to sit back and take all the credit, it's usually the staff that does the majority of the work. And it is the case in this point. And we have a really great staff over at the Alameda County Transportation Commission. So with that, I would ask if there's any objection to the motion. Seeing no objection, we will recommend support to the full board. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, next we'll move down to Transportation 2030. Randy, do you have anything before we introduce Alicia John-Baptiste?
Well, then just to state I'm in a similar disadvantage because Commissioner Weiner has worked on this extensively as well. So Alicia is here to describe it, and I'll just turn it over.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Commissioners. My name is Alicia John Baptiste. I'm Chief of Staff at the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency. Really appreciate the opportunity to address you this morning on the proposed $500 million transportation and road improvement bond, which we are looking to have placed on the ballot for November of this year in the city of San Francisco. This bond came out of the work of Mayor Ed Lee's Transportation 2030 Task Force, which he convened last year. As Randy was mentioning, we were fortunate to have participation from Supervisor Scott Weiner as well as from Executive Director Heminger on that task force. The task force looked at what San Francisco's transportation system needs, both to improve it for today as well as to prepare the city for the significant amount of growth that we're anticipating over the next 15 to 20 years. The task force ultimately identified a need to invest about $10 billion in San Francisco's transportation system over the course of this 15 years, with a gap in funding needed of over $6 billion. So the task force from that point identified a number of potential revenue measures for the city to consider pursuing. This $500 million bond is the first of four recommended measures that the voters of San Francisco will hopefully consider over the next few years. The bond itself makes really significant investments in the transit system in San Francisco. It allows the MTA to implement the results of our transit effectiveness project, to implement a significant number of muni reliability and travel time reduction improvements. Those improvements also will allow us to have a better operating cost per revenue hour as an agency, which is, again, consistent with the MTC's goals as articulated under the Transit Sustainability Program. So we're looking forward to that. The bond also places a significant amount of investment in street safety improvements. We've had a very unfortunate number of traffic fatalities in our city over the last year, and the city has adopted a program called Vision Zero, which is an attempt to get to zero traffic fatalities by 2024. So these bond funds would also support that effort. As I mentioned, this is the first of hopefully four measures that will come forward. I should also mention that this bond would fund San Francisco's contribution to Caltrain's electrification program. It also sets aside funding for BART. BART is a major part of San Francisco's transit system. Assuming that this is successful this year, we would look forward to seeing a potential increase to our own sales tax in San Francisco of 0.25% coming forward. Also considering a local increase to the vehicle license fee in San Francisco and a second $500 million general obligation bond, again, over the course of the next three to five years or so that we'd be considering all of those. So I think San Francisco is really attempting to raise local revenue to address the city's needs with respect to the transportation system and appreciate the MTC's consideration and potential support of this measure. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions, Alicia? Commissioner Weiner.
No questions. I just want to thank you for the presentation, and I want to thank Steve for being an active participant in our transportation task force, and also playing a role in terms of the MTC holding San Francisco accountable for making sure that we're ponying up the needed transit investments, because sometimes transit funding in San Francisco does not get the priority that it needs. And I will say that the MTC match that staff came up with and that we approved has been incredibly helpful in terms of being sort of a carrot and a stick, so that policymakers inside San Francisco City Hall understand that there are consequences for not moving forward. So, and I also want to stress that this is just one. There are three elements of the plan. As Alicia mentioned, we'll be moving forward in 2016 with our local vehicle license fee, and then we'll be moving forward at unspecified election with an additional sales tax. So it's very exciting.
I'll view that as a motion, Commissioner Weiner.
I'm not on the committee.
Oh, you're not? Okay, well then, Halstead, another San Francisco member moved it, and it was a second by Sparing. Is there any objection to the motion before you? Okay, motion passes unanimously. Two things to look forward to in November. Thank you. Item 4A, the state budget update.
Thank you, Chair Hagerty. you know, just reflecting on this memo, I know it's a bit dense. I'm going to go through it just on the high level, and then we can come back to some of the more more interesting and perhaps more challenging measures on cap and trade. I guess as a moment to reflect, and particularly the conversation you all had at your planning committee meeting, you know, there are a few times in my career of the last number of years where the state did something that was really big. The creation of BATA was one, clearly. In the 1990s, the creation of Senate Bill 45, which changed how the STIP was allocated. I think cap and trade has that potential as well. And while this commission for many years, going back to our focus on communities with our surface transportation funds, is now being replicated at the state with cap and trade. So I'm going to do this briefly and then go back. With respect to what the state budget did, on the first page of your memo, you can see a cap and trade pie chart that identifies an exact amount of funding that the state allocated to certain particular areas of interest, including high-speed rail, sustainable communities, transit funding, energy conservation, low-carbon vehicles. The total was about $872 million. If you turn the page, you can see they also created a long-term cap-and-trade program that will extend through 2020. That is a percentage, because we don't know how much money is going to be generated. The pro tem has estimated as high as $5 billion. I think more reasonable numbers are about half of that. But in any event, we're talking about a significant amount of money that could potentially come to the state for cap-and-trade items. I think it's important for a minute just to look at these percentages. I'm going to draw your attention to the largest one first, which is 40% of the funds. There's about six categories, and of course in each category there's a lot of different things you can do that the state has not determined yet how much each particular element gets. It could include energy efficiency, including low-income housing, energy efficiency. It could include forestry, urban forestry, clean vehicle rebates. So if you're thinking about that, you may want to hang back a little bit and see what happens. Timberland, waste management. There's a whole host of things that, again, the state did not determine now how they wish to spend these monies in the future, other than to say that 40% of the funds go to there. On the things that we care about more and that you have had serious discussions about, particularly in Plan Bay Area, we got a sense of certainty. There's a significant amount of money going to transit and intercity rail, 10% of the funds, 20% of the funds going to SESs and affordable housing, which is going to be broken exactly in half, 10% for housing and 10% for SES. Low-carbon transit operations, which I'll get to in a minute, high-speed rail, and so you can see that we kind of probably did better than everyone else because at least we have a sense of certainty. Also, we achieved about 60% of the money. Getting the money on page 3 of the memo is going to get us some process. They created a lot of process, which, again, I'm going to get to in a moment, particularly in the attachments. Just kind of moving on, you know, the budget just didn't do cap and trade. The budget also allocated a final portion of almost $800 million for Prop 1B for public transit. These funds were hard for us to get over the past number of years because the state did not want to issue GO bonds that then they had to repay with general fund money. So this was a significant achievement. In the past, we would have heralded it as the biggest thing we got out of the budget, and now it just seems like an afterthought to give you a sense of the scale of this year. Another item that took place was $227 million of general fund loan repayments to the highway fund, which increases the amount of money that can go to the SHOP. We are hopeful that we can focus Caltrans on the O in the SHOP. On the operations side, we have a series of projects we'd like to get done, and we're hopeful that these monies haven't been spent in the minds of the department yet, and we get a chance to weigh in on some unique projects that we think can benefit the Bay Area. In addition, in your own local communities, $242 million was allocated in additional that over what was expected for local streets and roads. So a lot of these old loans were being repaid this year. And then the last thing is I think the beginning of a bigger thing, which is the department has in here a reduction of almost 200 positions. I think you've all seen this chart that's been shopped around by our friends Will Kempton and others that just shows this huge cliff facing the department as Prop 1B, as local sales taxes and others end. There's simply all those funds, including the toll program, and there's all those funds that aren't there anymore, and it faces a big challenge for the department. I'm going to kind of stop there and just kind of rewind this movie back a little bit to the cap and trade side. I'll pause for a minute if you have any questions, or I'll just kind of start to go
through
some details.
Any questions so far, or can Randy keep talking?
So on the cap and trade side, again, I'm going to go through the memo here that's in front of you. Attachment 1 kind of gives you a sense of FY14-15 and how a portion of the cap and trade money would be spent by formula. It went through the state transit assistance formula, which is very beneficial to the Bay Area. This is one of the things we won. The Bay Area is about 20% of the state's population, but the formula includes an incentive portion. We call it the revenue-based side. The Bay Area is about 55% of the state's revenue support for public transit. So although we're much smaller than LA, we put a lot more money into public transit. This formula is very beneficial to the Bay Area. Historically speaking, the state transit assistance program, which is funded by the sales tax on diesel, these two components, the revenue-based and the population-based, which is the top of the second block on the attachment, shows where these monies go. Historically, the revenue-based has been seen by the operators as kind of their money. The population-based funds historically have been seen as the money that the commission makes decisions upon. What's different now is that this is not what the old program is operationally. It is as far as the formula. The law states that these funds have to be used to reduce carbon emissions and that the department will make the decision based upon a proposal given to them about whether or not you pass that test. So how this happens is still a bit of an uncertainty. In fact, there's a lot of things here that more questions than answers are before us. This is just one element of it. If you turn the page, there's a lot of funding that's related to transportation. It's clean vehicle related that is, in fact, allocated not by transportation folks such as the California Transportation Commission and others, but the Air Resources Board. Attachment 2 gives you a sense of that scale. If you recall that 40% block that's going to be into the future of the unknown, this is going to be more of that, but we don't know how much and we don't know how quite yet. On the cap and trade side, which is for the sustainable communities, on attachment 3, I think there's a couple of things that matter here. One is, I'm just going to read you the law that I do think is important. As it states, the Strategic Growth Council shall coordinate with metropolitan planning organizations and other regional agencies to identify and recommend projects within their respective jurisdictions that best reflect the goals and objectives of this subdivision, which gets to the fact that while the Strategic Growth Council is making all the decisions, we were able to achieve at least a significant role in how these decisions are going to be made. Again, we don't know how this is going to take place. The Strategic Growth Council met yesterday, put out a schedule that they hope that they can have some decisions made on the funds allocated in this fiscal year. The awards would be announced in June 2015 with a series of actions between now and June, public workshops starting as soon as August. So this is an ambitious schedule, but I think it also shows that they want this program to succeed. They wish it to be able to show a record of success because I think there's a lot of eyeballs on how this thing actually works. I think the next thing I want to focus on this attachment 3 and try to wrap it up here quickly is the project eligibility. This has a broad project eligibility. The kinds of things that you are very familiar with, kinds of decisions that you've made in the past when we did our TLC program, our Transportation for Livable Communities, and the kinds of things you incentivize in the OBAG program are all here. So that's the good news. I think a more challenging piece, and I'm not going to dwell on this because I think it needs a ton of work, is what's known as the CalEnviro screen. There's a lot of law in here that talks about the use of these funds for communities that are traditionally low income, that traditionally kind of get left out. And there is targets to that these funds have to be spent to both benefit these communities and within these communities. The Bay Area does not score well on the state's CalEnviro screen. We do, in fact, very poorly. This was a big win for the Central Valley. This cap and trade thing, writ large, had wins for the Bay Area because we're focused on transit. It had big wins for the Central Valley based upon air quality. How this comes down is something that we're going to have to focus on over the next couple of months. I think for today, what's important that you understand that we are in a position where we're not have a lot of strength here. This is the place where we need to do a lot of work or these funds are going to go to communities not in the Bay Area. So with that, I'll just wrap it up and understand that this is the first of a number of these presentations we plan to give you. I just want to give you a sense of what came down and also what the challenges that we're going to face in the next few months.
Randy, I hear a lot of complaints about this CalEnviro screen and program. Is there any, I sit on the air board and even there they talk ill
about it. Yes.
So is there, I mean, do we have any chance to get that thing changed or reworked or different data put in or what?
Well, if you look at the line of things that are, let's say, overlaps between the Commission's action on communities of concerns and the Cal Enviro screen, there are a number of them, but there are a number of them that kind of, frankly, are set aside. So the law states that they need to take into account homeownership and high rents, for example. So while the Bay Area looks, let's say, very wealthy income-wise as compared to much of the Central Valley, when you compare to the cost of living and housing, people are affected just as significantly as they could be someplace else. So I think there are places where we can succeed, but I think the hill is going to be steep.
Okay. Steve, did you want to say something?
Well, just you may be chock full of irony, and maybe you're in irony overload mode, but it's worth mentioning it on this particular thing. You know, we sent a letter, as I think you're aware, the directors of several of the regional agencies to the state saying this thing doesn't work for the Bay Area, you really ought to reconsider. And that provoked a response from several Central Valley legislators who said, no, we think this Enviro screen is the bee's knees, don't change a thing. Those same legislators have also, many of them, signed a letter saying that the fuels should not be put under the cap to generate the money that would be allocated to them according to that criteria. So their position seems to be don't do it, but if you have to, give us all the money. And that's maybe not so unusual. I will say, Mr. Chairman, that just on the pure politics of it, and this Enviro screen sounds like a lot of science, but to us it seems like it's mostly politics. The Valley does extremely well. L.A. doesn't do that badly. And the two parts of the state that are really left out are the Bay Area and San Diego. So I think we do have a bit of a hill to climb if we're going to make some headway on that subject.
Okay. And it is interesting, though, that now we're getting transport air from San Joaquin Valley into the Livermore Valley. So we'll see how this thing works out in the future. Are there any other questions? Okay. Randy, does that complete your informational report?
Yeah, yes, sir, for that item it does. We can move on.
Okay, well, thank you for bringing that forward, and it is an important issue, so keep that on the radar screen, as I know you will. So we'll move to AB 1864 Daily.
Thank you. This next item, we're asking for your approval as opposed to just information, but what this is a bill, AB 1864 by Assemblyman Daly, which is essentially the auto dealers' pushback to our effort, AB 2179, that was, again, ironically stopped by the State Motor Vehicle Agency. Any event, what this gets to is the license plate question, temporary toll tags, or temporary license plate, excuse me. And as you know, the Commission, through BATA, loses a great deal of money on the fact that people don't register their cars or put their, excuse me, I'm going to be more clear, they don't put their plates on their cars, and in some cases for a long period of time. There is statute and law that states that they need to do it within a few months. We shortened that in a previous effort, but the fact of the matter is that there's a pretty significant group of vehicles out there, which you will now notice, just like you notice the freeway service patrol trucks and the call boxes, you will now notice these. We want to make sure that, like many other states, the vast majority of states have a program to make sure that cars are plated immediately on dealer lots when they leave the dealer lots with temporary or other systems. This one is well used around the nation. We're frustrated, as you can tell. So this bill seeks to essentially ice this subject to 2016 by studying if it's really needed. So our position, to kind of cut to the chase, is if they want to do a study to show how to do it, and we need some time to figure out how to do it, we're kind of okay with that amendment. But if we're going to sit here and study whether or not the subject is needed, we think that we wish to oppose this bill, and that's our recommendation to you.
Thank you. You have an oppose on this? I'm sorry. Was it Luce? Luce was the motion. Second was the sparing. The second was by sparing. Many, many years ago, we had temporary plates where they would put it in the back window, and it was number. When did they quit doing that?
You know, Commissioner, I don't know the full history of why they changed the collateral that they've changed. I mean, currently you're supposed to get almost, it looks like a receipt in your window. But with the technology of the bridges now going to fast track, and now with the hot lane system, even that would be insufficient. We need a temporary plate that looks like a plate that's on a vehicle so we can inform ourselves for fairness on the system. We don't like people taking advantage of it. I think another big issue is the issue of just public safety. It's ironic to us that the state of California doesn't see this as a significant public safety item, but they have not yet thus far.
Maybe MTC should form a PAC and we'll get their attention.
Yeah, funny how that might work. Yeah.
I mean, that's who's running Sacramento. So I had a motion and a second. Was there objection to the motion? Does that include establishing a PAC? Motion passes with that. We'll handle the PAC, Steve. Don't worry about it. Motion passes without objection. Move to Mr. Bolger's report.
Which is there for your perusal, but I do think there is something more important going on in Washington, D.C., if I could, Mr. Chair, and that is that both the House and the Senate are seeking to pass a temporary extension of our revenue that would get us through the end of May 2015. It would be almost an $11 billion bailout. There are some differences between how they choose to do it, but those differences really don't have a whole lot of light between them. Pension smoothing here, pension smoothing there, to be honest with you. There was an effort by Senator Boxer to say, look, let's make a short-term extension. Let's get this to a lame duck where we can actually solve the problem with real revenue. That effort essentially failed in the House, ironically, yesterday when the Dems essentially approved the Republican House proposal for a longer bailout. Look, I think the good news is they're stuck between two things. They don't want to raise the tax, but they don't want to reduce the program. So thus far, I think that's decent news. At least we're not reducing the program. In other places, they've decided they don't want to raise the tax, and they want to reduce the program. So I guess we're in one of these places where we're thankful for what we have, but we're frustrated for what we have as well. So with that info, we'll keep you informed about how this comes down.
Any questions on the federal report? Seeing none, we'll move to item six, which is public comment. Mr. Ken Bukowski. Ken? Oh, you want to make sure you're on the camera well.
A couple comments. When the cap and trade, there is a lawsuit against the state for that, and that's because that program doesn't meet the reduction of greenhouse gas. It just doesn't. I mean, the construction and the use of all that concrete in creating that project violates the statute. So you might see other monies available. And then I also want to say that on the Alameda County transportation measure, I didn't support it the last time. I mean, in perpetuity was not reasonable. But we're supporting it this time because now it creates the opportunity for that last mile funding. We're looking for funding for the Emmy Ground. Carries 5,500 people a day and growing all the time, and it's free transit, so that's really good for the economy. So I would urge you to support the transportation sales tax measure.
Thank you, Ken. I only need to go find 720 more. So with that, we're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Sam.